Hello, good morning. The sun's like it's on. At this time, kids are free to go to Children's Church. Will everyone stand with me and raise your Bibles? We just want to give glory to God for His Word. God, we thank you for your Word that is alive and active, sharper than a two-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit. Thank you that all scripture is God-breathed and inspired, and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in your righteousness. Amen. You can all be seated. Excellent. So, how was everyone's Thanksgiving? Good. Good. That's good. You ate all lots of food. That's good. I had the opportunity to actually go back home to Canada for Thanksgiving. I wasn't actually celebrating Thanksgiving though, because in Canada we celebrate that in October. I don't really know why, but we do. So I was actually home because I needed to fix some issues with my health insurance. So that's why I was there. But it was still nice to be able to get a chance to be home with my family and to see my friends. As I was home, I was kind of reflecting on just this past year, because it's almost been a year since I came here, and a year ago today, like around this time, was when I knew about this opportunity to come here, and I was still thinking about whether or not I was going to be coming here. And I was just reflecting on how much has happened in this past year and how much God has changed in my life and just this whole journey He's taken me on. And it was just really cool to just think about where I was then and where I am now. I remember last year, just before I was leaving, I was talking to my pastor, and he was when I was saying goodbye to him. It was my last time seeing him, and he started talking about the story of Jesus walking on the water and Peter stepping out of the boat to follow him, and just about that faith. And he was comparing to that story to sort of what I was doing, and that verse, that passage, has always been in my head this whole year, and it's been just sort of this thing I keep thinking about, this stepping out in faith, and I've learned throughout this past year what that means and what that looks like. And I think that's the most important thing I've learned about stepping out in faith and about seeking Him first. And so that's the title of my message this morning, Seek First. And that's what I want to talk about. For those of most of you know, but for those of you who don't know, I and my team were part of an organization called PAYS USA, where we are sent here to partner with the church and we work with youth. And part of the teaching that I'm going to be talking about this morning comes from that. This lesson, this principle of seeking first, is one of the first things we learn as PAYS apprentices. And so I want to share that with you this morning. So a lot of what I'm going to be teaching on comes from that, as well as some personal experiences. So I just first, because of that, I wanted to look at the mission statement of PAYS. So it should be up on the screen there. PAYS exists to spark a global movement where the saints' primary concern is the kingdom of God, and they are equipped to advance it in their world. So that is the purpose of PAYS. Whoa, I don't know what's going on there. But that is the purpose of PAYS. That is their mission statement. That is why PAYS does what they do. So we come in and we work with youth and we do all these different things, but the ultimate goal is to equip people and show them what it means to advance the kingdom of God. That's why I'm here, and that's why I love being on PAYS, because I love that mission. I just love that mission. I think that's just so important to what we're doing. So I want to share an illustration that I hope is going to help explain the principle I'm going to be talking about. I hope it's going to help explain what it means to seek first. So it'll be on the next slide. So there are two types of Christians. And you might be thinking there's more, but just hear me out for a second. So to begin, is it on the next slide? Okay, cool. Yeah. So next, there is a line. So this line basically this line is something that a lot of Christians commit themselves to. This line is something that that we commit ourselves to standing on the right side of the line and being on the right side. And on one side of the line, what we do is we place sort of a cutoff point. So we place the things that we need to do in order to avoid punishment. And sort of on the other side is we place how far we need to go in order to receive a reward. And so to be more specific, like we take what we learn about Christ and we think about what we're supposed how we're supposed to act as Christians, and we put it on this line, and then we focus on this line. So we look at it and say, we can't do this, we have to do this. And it's kind of all about the like the do's and don'ts of Christianity. And so when we're focused on this line, when we're focused on when this is the basis of our faith, we ask questions like, for instance, what movie rating am I allowed to watch while still being considered pure? So like, can I watch PG? Can it be PG-13? Am I allowed to watch rated R movies? Like, that's a question we might ask. And that's like a shallow question. That's asking for something really specific, but it doesn't really search for the heart of God. It's just kind of looking to what we're supposed to do in order to avoid punishment. Like, what do I have to do here? Another question on the topic of forgiving. What sins perpetrated against me do I have to forgive? Again, that's a shallow question, and it's not really seeking God. It's really just trying to figure out what we need to do in order to receive his blessing or in order to avoid punishment. On the topic of giving, we might ask, how much do I need to give in order to be blessed? Or do I tithe on net or gross income? You know, it's like questions like that. These really specific like questions that they're important things, but they shouldn't be our focus. And so that brings me to the second part of the illustration. Is it up there? The second is there is a cloud. It's not up there. That's okay. So picture a line, and then picture a cloud above it, and that's basically what that is. So the second part of the illustration is that there's a cloud, and this cloud represents God. It represents his presence. It represents his character, his heart, everything about him. And like how there are people that focus on this line and focus on the do's and don'ts of Christianity, there are also people who focus on the cloud, who focus on God's presence and focus on his heart. And so these people are seeking God first. They're seeking God above themselves, seeking what his heart is above, you know, just figuring out what I need to do in order to be called a Christian. So a question a cloud dweller might ask is, what is in the heart of God? We want to know what God's desires are. We go to God because we want to know more about him. Another question we might ask is, what is God's desire for the world around me, and how can I help? It's about finding out what I can do for the kingdom of God, not just finding out what God's going to do for me and what do I have to do in order to get that, but it's about finding out what I can do for God. And in my opinion, I mean, I think we're all sort of on the line at some point. We're all, you know, especially as young Christians, that sort of becomes the focus. And the problem with that is it's based on Christian teaching, and it's based on the words of Jesus and all that, but it's sort of filtered through our own opinions and our own biases and through our culture. And when that becomes the focus of our faith, we're not really living for God, we're living for ourselves. So that illustration comes from the founder of Pays, and it's in this book appropriately titled The Cloud and the Line. I think it's in the library in the church, actually. So if you want to read it, you can. It's pretty good. But this book goes through six different principles that he explains in order that are explained to help you advance God's kingdom and know how to live above this line and live for God. And so this morning I'm talking about the first principle, which I said is seek first. So now I want to look at the verse that goes along with this principle. So it's Matthew 6, verse 25 to 33. It says, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or stow away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, 'What shall we eat or what shall we wear?' For the pagans run after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well." So seek first his kingdom. So that was a lot, but I think the focus should be, you can go to the next slide, and that's the second part. This is sort of the most important part of that. Don't worry about your life. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. So I want to kind of give a little context on this verse. You see verse 32, it says the pagans run after these things. So what is he talking about here? So the definition for a pagan can be kind of varied, and it sort of depends on who you ask. It can, from a Christian perspective, it could just be someone who doesn't believe in Christ or doesn't follow Christ. But other people, other perspectives might say it's just someone who doesn't follow a God. But in the context of this passage, when this was written, it was most likely referring to people who worship and serve other gods, which was really common the time that this was written. So polytheists, and so you've probably heard about like ancient Greek and ancient Roman history and how they worshipped all these gods like Zeus and Poseidon and all that. And so that's most likely what he's referring to in here. One of these gods, just to give you an example of what they were like, was Apollo. And Apollo had a temple, and in the temple there was a high priestess. And if you look at the next slide, there's a picture. Hopefully it shows up. Yep, that is not a photograph. That is an artist's rendition of it. But that is the high priestess of the temple of Apollo. And so people that worshipped Apollo would walk to this temple with a sacrifice, some kind of animal, and they'd go to the temple, and then they'd be allowed to enter into the temple and ask Apollo a question. And they would actually ask this lady, this priestess here. And they would ask a question seeking an answer from their god, from Apollo. And so the way this would work is they would come and they'd ask her this question, whatever the question they have, and then she would then deliver back the oracle in sort of a frenzied state induced by those vapors coming out of the ground there. And she'd just be speaking kind of gibberish, and then the priests behind her would interpret that and then deliver that message to the person who asked. And so that's how it would work. And so people would come to this priestess, and they'd come to Apollo looking for direction. They'd be looking for what they should do. So let's say they had a decision they needed to make, and they wanted to make the right one, and they wanted to make sure that whatever it was, it would lead to wealth, or it would lead to prosperity, or whatever. So they would go to Apollo, and they might ask, "Would Apollo be pleased with me if I did this?" So they're kind of looking for an answer. They're looking for guidance from Apollo. And one account, a king went to the temple, and he was debating whether or not he was going to go to war with a nation. And so he goes to the temple, and he asks, "If I go to war with this nation, will I be victorious?" And then he got the answer back, "A nation will fall." And so it wasn't really helpful for him. And so, you know, these questions weren't always exactly helpful, but these people would keep coming, and they'd keep coming here looking for direction. And so when in the verse it says for the pagans run after these things, that's sort of what it's referring to. It's referring to people who go to their gods looking for something for themselves. So these pagans would go, and they weren't really in asking these questions, they weren't really looking to serve their gods. They were just really kind of looking to serve themselves. And so relating that to Christians, on the next slide, it'll say, a pagan might ask, Lord, if I do this, will you bless me? This is where the idea of a line dweller comes from, someone who's focused on the line, someone who's focused on the rules, someone who doesn't seek first the kingdom of God, but seeks first themselves. Whereas a follower of Jesus might ask, Lord, what are you doing and how can I bless you? So here the focus is on God. It's not about me, it's about him. It's about what I can do for him. And one thing we realize is that when we focus on that, when we focus on God, all the other stuff sort of falls into place. And when we're focusing on God's presence, we don't have to worry about knowing what we're supposed to do and knowing, you know, how we're supposed to live our lives, because that just falls into place because we're seeking God and he is giving us that. So just like the verse says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added onto you. Jesus gave us a really good model for seeking God first. It says that in Matthew 6, as well as Luke 11. In Luke 11, his disciples approach him and ask, Lord, teach us how to pray. And in Matthew 6, he's basically just explaining to a bunch of people. And he says this is the prayer that you've probably all heard. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I just want to focus on that first part. So this is the very first thing that Jesus says. This is like the primary prayer. So the first thing that Jesus says to do, the first thing that Jesus prays is a prayer of exaltation. He's praising God and he's declaring that he's asking that his name would be praised, that his name would be hallowed. And then the second thing he asks is that his will would be done. So the first thing that he's going to God with, the primary prayer is about God. It's about his will. It's about his plan and asking that whatever his will is, that would be done. And then the other stuff comes after. This way of approaching God illustrates just complete surrender to him, surrendering our will to his will and our desire to his desire. And I was looking at this and I was just thinking, like, how often do we do this? It's easy for us to go to God looking for answers, looking for directions. It's easy for us to ask for things. But we don't always go to God with the intention of serving him and doing something for him. You know, it's not that asking for things from God is a bad thing. It's not. You should ask for, it's not a bad thing to ask for healing or for prosperity. It's God wants you to ask those things. Jesus goes on and says, give us this day our daily bread. But where is our focus? Is our focus on just going to God so we can get something, or is our focus on going to God because we love him and we want to serve him? Sometimes we go to God and we think we want to serve him. We sort of act like we want to serve him, but we're only really seeking to serve ourselves. And we need to understand how to surrender our will and our plans to his will and his plans. Almost exactly three years ago on Wednesday, I decided to follow God. Before this, I had been going to church for a while, and I believed in God, and I was surrounded by Christian friends and all that. But that was the day that I decided myself to personally follow God. It's when I made my own step of faith. And I remember right after I made that decision to follow God and to listen to him and just go wherever he would lead me, I remember I started hearing his direction. Now, as soon as I made that decision, I heard him calling me to certain things. Around this time, I was in 12th grade, and so it was the time that you have to start deciding what you're going to do after high school. And my original plan was to go to university for computer science so that I would ultimately do computer programming because basically I was pretty good at math and I liked it, and computer programmers make money, so I wanted to do that. And then as I started hearing from God, I felt like he was calling me away from that, away from going to university. And it's hard to know why. I'm not exactly sure what his plan was or why that was, but I imagine it was because he wanted me focusing on him. And because I just made this big decision to follow God, I needed to know where he wanted me. The other thing that I felt a calling towards was music. And that was sort of separate, but I just felt like God was calling me to that as well. And so that was something that was on my mind a lot. I was right around the time I was about to make the decision to go to university, and then all of a sudden it was like, no, you're not doing that. And I was like, okay, what do I do then? What's going on? And it was a hard decision to make, and I remember talking to people and trying to figure it out, and I decided that I would compromise. I would go to university, but I wouldn't go for computer science, I would go for music. So I was following what he said, and yeah, so that was good, it was good. I felt like that was the right thing to do. It wasn't too long that I kind of felt like I wasn't in the right place, and that I realized that I really hadn't followed the direction that he called me to. And I think I've shared this before, but my year and a half in university was tough, mostly because I wasn't focused on God, and I was sort of just unmotivated. I wasn't sure where he wanted me, and I wasn't sure what my purpose was with him. I made the decision, and it was not what he wanted, and that really caused me to just kind of, the next year and a half, it was like I was in the wilderness. I didn't know where I was. I didn't know where my purpose was. And I would go to God constantly, and I would be asking him, you know, what's my plan? Where are you going to send me? And I'd be looking constantly to my future, and I would just think, am I going to be a music teacher? Is that what your plan for me is? Or am I going to be a musician? Like, am I going to be famous? What is your plan for me? What's going to happen? And I was so focused on the future, and I was so focused on what was coming up and what God's plan for me was, that I wasn't focusing on the world around me. I was going through life just looking forward, just blocking everything else out. Like, I had tunnel vision. I was just looking ahead. And so when I look back at that time, my biggest mistake wasn't going to university. You know, that may not have been the best thing for me to do, but that's what I did. I went there. My biggest mistake was that once I got there, I wasn't carrying out God's purpose. God's plan for me is a lot bigger than just one specific thing. It's bigger than just an education or a career. God's plan for me is that I would live out his purpose for my life. That, you know, I was going through school surrounded by all these people. Most of them didn't know who God is. And in that whole year and a half I was there, I didn't minister to one of them because I was so focused on myself. I was so focused on God's plan for me. I was so focused on my plan that I couldn't even see, you know, what God's will was for me in that point. And so, you know, eventually I left university because I couldn't do that anymore. And then that led me to come here. And yeah. and from then I kind of learned what it really meant to seek his purpose. You know, I think that sometimes when we're trying to, you know, as Christians, I feel like we're trying to seek the Christian version of a worldly life. You know, we want to do all the things that we wanted to do before, like we want to have our own lives, but we want God to just kind of show us the right way to go. Like, we want God to bring us the right path so that we have, you know, that he brings us wealth and he brings us all that. And that's sort of why we ask. You know, we say, God, what is my plan? We want him to come down and just say, go there, and you'll be good. But sometimes he doesn't do that. Sometimes it's not so clear, and sometimes we have to make the decision. And so what do we do then? Now, I think, as I said before, God's plan, his will is a lot bigger than just a career. It's a lot bigger than just, you know, pursuing my gifts or my passions. It's about surrendering my whole life to Him and seeking first His kingdom in everything I do. We want to follow God, but sometimes we aren't ready to give up some of the things in our old life. You know, there's nothing wrong with seeking direction from God. It's good to ask Him, and sometimes He does send us in certain places. But again, we need to ask, where is our focus? Am I just looking for the best route? Am I looking for God to just send me the right way? Am I just trying to use God to find my best option? Or am I really trying to find out where I can be most effective for His kingdom? That's not what I was asking when I was trying to figure out what I was going to do with my life. I was just basically trying to figure out for myself. God wants people who are willing to take initiative and to seek God's kingdom, not just use Him to find their best option. So I mentioned earlier that my pastor talked to me about the story of Peter walking on water and how that's been in my head. And I just kind of want to read that scripture. It's Matthew 14, verses 25 to 31. It says, "Shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them, walking on the lake. When the disciples saw Him walking on the lake, they were terrified. 'It's a ghost,' they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, 'Take courage, it is I, don't be afraid.' 'Lord, if it's you,' Peter replied, 'tell me to come to you on the water.' 'Come,' he said, and then Peter got down out of the boat, walked in the water, and came toward Jesus." So I think that's an incredible story. I think it would be incredible to walk on water, to do that. I think that's so cool that Peter took that step and trusted God that much. But I was reading it recently, and something kind of popped up to me. Something about the way Peter asks Jesus. He says to Him, "Lord, if it's you, tell me to come to you on the water." And I was looking at that, and I was realizing, I was thinking, you know, why Peter? Why was Peter the one to walk on water? And I think that's why. You know, Jesus didn't call Peter out of the boat and say, "Come onto the water." Peter said, "Lord, if that's you, tell me to come to you." Peter asked Jesus. Peter sought Jesus. And then Jesus called him forward. And I think that a lot of the time, God doesn't just pick people out of a crowd. He doesn't, like, draw a name out of a hat and it's like, okay, Scott's going to New Jersey. You know, it's like He looks for the people that are leaning forward. He didn't call me to come here until I made the step to leave university and just trust that He was going to send me somewhere or that He was going to use me somewhere. He picks the people who lean towards Him, who are seeking Him first. So if you want to see God do something in your life, and if you want to carry out your purpose for Him, you need to take that first step. You need to seek Him first. You need to give Him the opportunity to show how powerful He is. You need to take that leap of faith to give Him the opportunity to show you how graceful He is and how faithful He is to you. So it's all about having that faith. And it can be hard, I think, to do that. It can be hard to sacrifice things. It can be hard to put God's will before our own. I just want to go back to Matthew 6, 25. It says, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life." I want to spend my life, I want to make the kingdom of God my primary concern in my life. That's what I want to do. And it's hard, but I guess the question I have is what is this life? This life is temporary. This life is short. You know, in Genesis 3:19, God says to Adam, "For dust you are, and to dust you will return." All throughout Ecclesiastes, the author is basically saying everything is meaningless. This life is temporary. This life doesn't last forever. And we have to to make the decisions to how we're going to live that life. Are we going to live the life for ourselves, or are we going to live that life for God? I want to show you just an illustration that my pastor showed me. And he actually got this from another person, a preacher named Francis Chan. You may have heard of him. These are a little tangled, just a second. There we go. So he does this illustration with a rope, but I'm going to use this cord thing. So you see this cord. This represents your life. This represents the eternity of your life. This represents your life, this whole thing, and it goes on forever. Just imagine that this thing goes on forever. It goes there, goes back there, and it goes out the door. So this is your whole life. And then this little green part here, this is your time on the earth. So this is everything after that life, and then this is time right now. You know, we focus so much on this life, and we work so hard here, and we make all these decisions here, and we do all this here for this here. You know, but we need to realize that everything that the things we do here in this little part affect all of this. It affects our eternity. The things that we do here affect eternity. And so it can be hard to give up our dreams. It can be hard to give up our desires for what God wants if he's calling us to something different. But we need to remember that, I mean, what is this life? This is nothing compared to this. And another thing you can realize about this is that what you do here, it doesn't just affect your eternity, but it can affect the eternity of the people around you. The people that you see in school, that you see at work, who might just need to know who Jesus is. And you know, we get scared of telling them because we're so concerned about this, and we just forget about all of this. But I want to live a life where the kingdom of God is my primary concern. I want to be able to say that I sacrificed for that eternity. According to tradition, a majority of the 12 apostles were martyred, meaning they were killed for their faith. A lot of people even say that it was 11 of the 12, but it's kind of unclear. Either way, these people made a huge sacrifice to die for Jesus, to die for their faith. And thinking about that, I mean, it's hard to die for Jesus, but when we think about it, I mean, it's not that hard if we're confident in our faith and confident in our salvation. If we're faithful in God, dying for him is kind of like the easiest thing we can do, because we know that once we're dead, we're with him. It is hard to die for Jesus, but I believe that it's harder to live for him. It's hard to spend every day making decisions that go against what we want or go against what we desire so that we can serve him, so that we can follow his plan, so that we can follow his will. And what I admire most about all the disciples is not that they died. The Bible doesn't even talk about their deaths. It's the fact that they gave up everything in their life for their faith, for God. That's what I admire. That's what I want to do, you know. And that's why I wanted to share this morning. I just think this is so important, that surrendering our plan for his plan, surrendering our will to his will. And so I just want to leave you with one last question before I go. Are you willing to live a life where your primary concern is the kingdom of God?